It's good to be back here at First Baptist Church. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I come before you this morning giving you all thanks and glory because you are so wonderful, you are so good, you are God of second chance. You have given us second chance today to come here together as a brethren and fellowship, worshiping you and learning from your feet. As I'm stepping in this pulpit, Lord, give me wisdom and understanding so I can be able to edify and rectify the gathering of saints here this morning. I thank you for each and every one of us that came out of their comfort zone and say, no, let's go to the sanctuary to celebrate the goodness of the Lord and learn of living. Lord, I'm just a vessel. Use me as a clean instrument for your glory, and I know you can do it. In the mighty name of Jesus, we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to see all of you, and I'm glad to be back here once again. And I thank God for the opportunity given always. And I will never take it for granted because I know our God is a good God. Praise the Lord. He's a good God. He brought us here today to listen to his word. Okay, our reading has been taken from book of Acts of Apostles, chapter 16, verses from 16 to 40, but I'm just going to read 10 out of it. If you dare, let's go and open our books, Acts of Apostles, chapter 16, verses from 16 to 40, but I will read a couple of them and then we'll continue. He came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jew and a believer, whose father was a Greek. The brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey. So circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in the area, for they all knew that his father was Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostle and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened, and the faith and grow daily in numbers. Paul and his companion traveled through the region and Galatia, having been kept by Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Messiah, they tried to enter Bethany, but the Spirit of God would not allow them to. So they passed by Messiah and went down to Tarsus. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia. So let me jump to 12. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city, get to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listeners was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple clothes from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the numbers of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come on, stay at my house." And she persuaded us. Once we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future, she earned her great deal of money from her honors by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you they were to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became to trouble, and that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. And they brought them before the magistrate. They say, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined an attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped, beaten. After they had been severally flogged, they were thrown into the prison. The jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. That's a long reading for me. But it's worthy. Praise the Lord. So you see, today I'm going to share with you something really, really very important. And I know it's going to strengthen your faith in the Lord, because God has been faithful to all of us and is going to manifest through my life. This story here is the story of Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas, they went into the town. And Philippi, they were doing what God told them to do, and they were so eager. They loved what God told them to do. And you know the history of Paul. Paul was a persecutor of Christians. He kills Christians left and right. But God appeared to him in his way to Damascus, changed his destiny completely. And that argument is still today. The theologians are arguing about it. Even the Jews are arguing about it. They don't know what changed Paul until today. What changed Paul? But I want to show you today, believers sitting here, Jesus Christ is the one that changed Paul. And God is able to change anybody because he has power and might forever. So Paul went into that city. He was doing what God told him to do. By getting into the city, they met good people. Bible mentioned them here. Lydia was one of them. Good woman that accept Paul. And I praise the Lord for women, because God used women tremendously. God reveals a lot of things through women. And that's why I want to emphasize in that. I want to assure you that God can use you like nobody's business. At that town, Paul find a good time with the brethren, and he started preaching gospel. A lot of people came and listening to him and Silas. But something went wrong in that town. The people in that town, they worship different gods. They worship different gods. They don't have only one God, but a lot of gods. They have their small gods. They don't know nothing about Christianity. And there's a young lady in that town. She's a slave girl. She has powers. She can predict the future. And people go to her so that she can predict their future. And that's how she makes money. And that's how her owners make money too. She's a money-making machine. She has powers. But once she saw Paul and Silas, she said, "No, those men are servant of God Most High." She acknowledges Paul and Silas are the servant of God Most High. And that's when problem started. And she kept doing it. She kept doing it. And Paul fed up with that kind of thing. Paul said, "You know what? This lady, I have to set her free by the grace of God." And Paul went to work. Paul commanded the spirit in her, because she's not the spirit of God. Paul say, in the mighty name of Jesus, you get out of this lady. And the spirit left the lady, and she become vulnerable. The powers that she used to make money for her owners, that power is gone. Because we know the God we serve, the Jesus Christ in which we serve, have power. The power and mighty power. So then the spirit is left, the lady becomes vulnerable, she's not making money anymore. She has been set free by the power of the name of Jesus Christ. And Paul and Silas got into trouble. Got into trouble, why? Because they set that lady free and the owners went and make a noise in town. They said, no, Paul and Silas came here and they're troublemakers, they are Jews, they brought their religion here now. They set this woman free. We're not making money anymore. Let us get them. They went after Paul. They dragged Paul and Silas into the marketplace to embarrass them. You know, sometimes as a Christian, you're doing greater things for God's glory, but enemy is not happy. Enemy is not happy. That's why enemies try to set Paul and Silas into trouble. But God Almighty said, no, those are my children. You're not going to set them on failure. Enemy may try, you do whatever you want to do, but me, God Almighty, I will make sure I set my children free. Because Paul have belief, Silas have a belief that they will overcome this. We may be going some trial in our lives, but you just have to believe, as Paul and Silas, we will overcome this. They throw them, and they flog them, they beat them. They maltreat them, and guess what? They say, no, these gentlemen, we have to throw them into prison. And the judges in that town decide to throw Paul and Silas into prison because they want to punish them more. They say, let us put them in prison. They're not going to get out of that prison. They will be stuck there. They will suffer there because we got them. You know, sometimes you hear that a lot. We got him or we got her. It could be in your workplace, it could be wherever, even within your own family. We got her. She thinks she's smart, or he thinks he's smart, but we got him today. He's not running away with this. He's not getting away with it. He will pay for it. But if they're doing it negatively or against you for no reason, God will always set you free. The Bible says Paul and Silas was in that prison. And that will bring us back to our peace that transcends the circumstances that we're going through. Paul went to prison and Silas. And guess what happened? Paul started to pray. They pray and pray, and guess what? They start worshiping God, praising God Almighty. You know, sometimes if you get into trouble, you pray, prayer is not working, you have to jump into that praise right away. They start praising God. Hallelujah, glory to you, Jesus. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to us. Praise the Lord, somebody. God is good to us. They start praising God like nobody's business. And the Bible said the prisoners heard them. The prisoners heard them. I want you to praise God the same way. Put yourself into that position of Paul and Silas. Praise God like nobody's business. The prisoners heard them, and the Bible say the foundation of that prison was shaken. Hallelujah, somebody. The foundation of the prison. Imagine this building is very strong, erected, have a strong foundation. That prison is the same way the foundation of prison was shaken. Because the power of Holy Spirit impacted Paul and Silas. And the enemy knows those guys, they are not a joke. You mess up with them, you mess up with God. Hallelujah. Anybody mess up with you, they're messing up with God. Because God said, David is a man after my own heart. He's the apple of my eye. Glory to Jesus, somebody. The prison was shaken. And guess what? The chains that they were in, tied down, the chains were broken. And I pray the same way. If you have sickness here, if you have anything that bothers you, you just have to believe. Say, God Almighty, heal me. Your faith will heal you. That prison was completely free. The prisoners was free. The Bible saying the jailer, the man in charge of that jail, the officer that was in the charge, he figured it out. The doors were open. He thought maybe the prisoners escaped. Because at that moment, if you, I am a prisoner in that prison and the doors are open, guess what? I will get out of there. I will get out of there. But the prisoners did not move anywhere. Paul said, do not kill yourself. We are here. Praise the Lord. What a confidence. We are here. We are not running anywhere. Don't kill yourself. That man at that moment, he realized the power of Holy Ghost. He realized the power of God Almighty in those judgments. He said, what can I do to be saved? Paul, in the end of the day, Paul preached gospel to him. At that kind of moment, don't brag about anything, because you are not, God has used you. And God is about to set somebody free the same way he set you free. You have to preach gospel to that person. And the man was free with his family. And they end up getting baptized. That's faith that transcends circumstances. Paul and Silas worship in the prison. Not after they were free, but they were worshiping at that moment of sorrow, at that moment of penury, at that moment of pain. They turn prisons into sanctuary. So we have to turn our prisons into sanctuary. Depending on comfort or outcome, no, that's not it. We have to celebrate the goodness of the Lord even though we are in time of difficulties. In today's world, where anxiety, persecution, and uncertainty abound, the church is called to cultivate resilience, worship, that shine brightest in the darkness. We have to sing darkness into the light. We have to be strong, rooted in the word of God. Never allow enemy to shake you around, left and right. You are child and daughter of Most High God. And that will bring revival into our midst right away. I know people are going through a lot, but you have to know your problems is not bigger than God. God will always set you free from any kind of problems you are in or I am in. His spiritual authority of oppression. That's a very important point. Paul cast out the spirit from that slave girl, liberating her from exploitation. This is a call for the church today, our church today, to confront spiritual and systematic oppression. We have a lot of problems out there, but church have to stand tall. Church have to tell the truth in face of adversity. You tell the truth and God will set you free. Praise the Lord. God will set you free if you tell the truth. Telling truth is so difficult, but you got to stand and tell the truth. Say, look, this thing here is immoral, it's wrong. We don't do this thing. And that's how we learn here in our church, at First Baptist Church. We got to have that powerful authority in us. If you don't have that authority, I think it's not going to be easy for us to do it. So, worshiping as a witness, that's a point number three. They're singing. Wasn't just personal, it was a public. You don't sing in a secret, you sing in public. Let the prisoners hear you. Let the jailers hear you. Let the authorities hear you. Let your family hear you. Let your community to hear you. Allow America to hear you today. Praise the Lord. America has to hear us. Right here from Lincoln, Nebraska, America has to hear us. Because God has impacted us. And equip us for such a time like this so we can be a source of blessing to many. That is very important. We have to really step out of our games. The other prisoners listening to them, as the Bible say, and the jailer, conversion follow right there. And the culture that often prioritize faith. Sometimes we prioritize our faith. No, we don't want to do this like that because we're scared to go out there and preach gospel. If I go there, maybe I will offend somebody. Maybe people will disagree with me. Why you carry your Jesus everywhere? But I want to encourage you, never be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. At your workplace, preach about him. But be polite. Preach about him. Talk about him. God will allow you to be a source of blessing to set somebody free, just as Paul did. Faith history reminds us today as a church that authentic worship is evangelistic. It draws people to you. It draws people to God. It draws people to God. You got to be authentic and real. You mean what you do from your heart. from the strings of your heart, you're seeking glory into the Lord. It's not to brag about it or to show up, but you want to show people that Jesus is real and Jesus is the Lord. Finally here, God's power is unexpected places. A prison become a place of revival. We want this church to become a place of revival. Praise the Lord. This church doesn't have any choice but to become the place of revival. We want the entire city of Lincoln to turn out coming here celebrating the goodness of the Lord. That it will come to pass. This must become true. We don't have any doubt because we know we are carrying Jesus. And once you carry Jesus, you carry everything. So we want this place to become a place of discipleship. That shan't fall apart. The Bible says a prison become a place of revival. A jailer become a disciple. Shan't fall hearts open. Once the prison become a place of worship, people will change and the hearts of people will open to God. And that's what we want to see in our lifetime. Justice and boldness. Paul's insistence on public acknowledgement. Because Paul was a Roman citizen. As today, I'm an American citizen. One of my friends was telling me, he's an African, black African from Africa, just like me, came here a couple years ago. And he doesn't have papers. You know what happened? He said, Maulesh, I don't have papers, but I feel good about it. I say, you don't have papers, you're feeling good about it? If you get into trouble now. He said, because I'm a black, I can blend it in with African Americans. Nobody will know me. I'll just blend it in. at least if I open my mouth, so my accent, my heavy accent will be known. But if not, I'll just blend it. I'm an African American now. I'll say, hey, what's up, y'all? How y'all doing? Hallelujah. That's what it is. And he's right. Is he still here? Nobody sent him nowhere. Because our President Donald Trump doesn't play around. So you see, so we have to. Paul say, no. I'm not a Jewish only, but I am a Roman citizen. And when those authorities realized Paul was a Roman citizen, they say, hey, we made a mistake. Please forgive us. I'm telling the truth. If you're serving the living God, people will come and ask pardon from you. They mess it up your life. But now they're coming back, they say, please forgive us because we messed it up. You are alive for no reason. That's important. So Paul here, Paul said, no, I need the public acknowledgement of their mistreatment. Wasn't pride. It was a stand for justice. Paul stood for justice because he knows he's right. He said, no, in an age of silence we live in here today, sometimes we compromise stuff. The church must speak truth to power with grace and courage, especially when rights are violent. That is truth. You speak with grace, with love, into the face of authority. Say, no, we don't want Lincoln to look like that. Lincoln has to be a place, like I always hear, people talk good about Nebraska big time. When I was in Army, deploying in Iraq, one time we were sitting with one of my friends, he left us, John, is from countryside here. It was our driver. And when we met, they asked me, where are you from? I said, I'm from Nebraska. He said, wow, you're from Nebraska? What are you doing there? What are you doing there? I said, what is wrong with you guys? Nebraska is my home. Praise the Lord, somebody. Nebraska is my home. That's where I belong. They said, but you have heavy accent. I said, that's none of your business. Nebraska is my home. Praise the Lord. And I'm happy to call myself Nebraskan. That's it. That's my home. Until I depart this side of eternity, I will live here. Let my family bury me here in Nebraska. This is my home because I meet great brothers and sisters in Christ. People surprised where Nebraska is located. They're American. They don't know. But I told them, I said, Nebraska is a good place. If you go to Nebraska, people are so friendly. People have fear of the Lord. They are good, welcoming society. That's what I experienced in Nebraska for 18 years. And I bless the name of the Lord for Nebraska. And I want God to bring revival in Nebraska so the entire world will come here, will experience the goodness of the Lord in Nebraska. And that will come to pass. They come and acknowledge Paul. They say, we are wrong against you, but forgive us. This is very important. We have to have a strong worship team here, which will draw inspiration from Paul and Silas to lead worship that breaks spiritual chains. We need that in our community. We need to have outreach ministries in prisons, ministries in justice institutions here in Lincoln. That's very important. And we need to have evangelism effort can be actually filled by the model of God Almighty. With bold advocacy, we can do that, especially in the unjust system. God will help us to do that. We need youth group here. We need discipleship here. We need the history to be taught to those young people to believe that they are not just a young people. If God can use David, God can use anybody. Samuel, God can use our youth here in Nebraska. We want to see them coming to this church. We want to see them doing greater things for God's glory. We want to see changes happening. And that's what God put in my heart to share with you this morning. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord continue to guide you. In Jesus' name, amen.